This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. I haven't gotten a year-end bonus in forever. That's kind of the thing when you're an entrepreneur. But I do like to dream about getting one. So let's do that together. Let's dream together. If we were to get a bonus, what could we do with it? What should we do with it? What would we do with it? Jeremy Straub is the CEO of Coastal Wealth. He's got some do's and don'ts for the bonus. He's in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hello there.
How you doing, Bruce?
When you say bonus, what do you mean? Are we talking like enough to buy a cheap home use drone, or are we talking Club Meg Extapa for 2 weeks with a room upgrade?
Well, I guess it depends on the role that you're in and the compensation package you have, but it could be anywhere from a $3,000 year-end bonus. It might be 2 to 4 weeks of your salary to 60-70% of your income, depending on what type of job you're in.
Yeah. Now, what are some of the questions that you believe individuals should ask themselves before they do anything? And I'm supposing you recommend people take a minute to pause before they push buy on some extravagant African safari or something like that.
I would agree with that. So in general, your bonus you should have that it's not there to help you pay normal cash flow, but it's an extra money that you're there because you never know if it's going to happen or not and your employer is going to pay the dollar amount you thought. So this should be extra money you can use for certain things. I always recommend first looking at paying off debt. If there's bad debt, especially with high interest rates, that's one of the first areas you want to get to. You have credit cards paying 10-20%. You're never going to make that in the market guaranteed. You're better off paying off some debt.
Okay. What's number two? What's idea number two?
Well, I would think about starting to split money. What I always recommend for people is you got to keep some money for fun, but in general, you should save about half of it. And then the other half, decide between charity and decide between celebrating a little bit. You know, you had a good year. There's a reward for the year, whether it's a little bit of money towards your vacation or might be something you've been looking and eyeing up for a while and a little gift to yourself. But I would make sure you save at least half of it first before you do that.
And so on that saves, or let's say save slash invest, we've got debt first. What are the other elements here and how do you think through which is most advantageous? So top of mind would be, I don't know, saving for retirement, saving for kids' education, saving for a new car, down payment on a property. How do you prioritize those various ideas?
So bad debt first. I say bad debt because a mortgage could be considered good debt depending on your interest rate and its deductibility. So bad debt with high interest rates. Your second area you want to save is something that you might not be able to take loans for later. So if you're saving for a kid's school, you can actually take student loans to help do that. You can't take loans for retirement. So my suggestion as always is to save for retirement first. When it comes to retirement, there's a lot of tax favored investments that you can look at.
Yeah, and the Canadian dynamic is different than the U.S., but we do have a way to defer income tax on that through the RSP.
True. Yeah. So retirement I would do first, then opposed to saving for an education if you have the choice.
And then what about down payment or saving for a car?
So it's the same thing. If you're saving for a new car, my suggestion is you have about 3 to 6 months of your expenses set aside in a cash reserve. So add up all your expenses, and you should have about 3 to 6 months sitting in cash. That's the first place you go before you start investing for the future. If you have that six-month savings, the next step is then start going for something you might want, like a home or a car would be a good example. And that's where you might start saving to next.
Why do you advocate for such a high level in an emergency fund? You're not alone. I mean, many, many, many people believe that having an emergency fund that's, you know, 3 to 6 months of salary is appropriate. It's just an enormous sum of money to be sitting there doing nothing, especially if you have a spouse who works or access to a credit line at, you know, prime plus one, that if you were to run into trouble, if you were to lose your job, you would have other ways to keep a roof over your head.
So if you have access to a home equity line of credit or some other line of credit, many people will consider that as part of their cash reserve, which I think you can rationalize to have less money sitting in cash. But it really comes down to a comfort level. In a low unemployment rate environment, you might not find the job you want right away. And so you might not want to take an opportunity quickly. Along with that, you never know expenses that might be more than you wanted. So, for example, if insurance didn't cover something for a month or 2 months on a house as you waited for a claim, you don't want to tap into credit. You might want to actually use cash to be able to do that. So having that cash, I found, is though you can argue it might not make financial sense, the level of peace of mind it gives clients and allows them to sleep at night, I found that 3 to 6 months is a good spot to be in where they feel most comfortable.
Yeah. Some of our listeners are in the debt reduction category and they're like, oh yeah, that's a nice fantasy because I got, you know, $4,200 outstanding on my credit card. Let me segue to a big picture question. And that is this: how do you balance the financial rationale of what to spend this bonus on with the emotional rationale? Simply put, I should pay off my credit cards, but I feel like a vacation.
Well, I think that's something that most people wrestle with. What I always found is having somebody that has an unbiased opinion to be able to be kind of a coach or a counselor to it.
Yeah.
Financial advisor, financial planner, that you have to just talk through it. Because if you get the money, you see it in your checking account, you know, the first thing you want to do is go out and buy something. And so the more you can have regular scheduled meetings with your financial planner or financial advisor allows you the opportunity to take a step back before you make any irrational decision.
I am sure you have clients who some clients who are in relationships, happy or otherwise. How do you encourage spouses to talk this through? Because I think it's probably fair to say that sometimes it's one spouse that gets the bonus and they have to navigate, you know, who gets the veto? How are you going to set priorities? That kind of stuff.
Just keep separate checking accounts and don't tell them about the bonus.
So how have you been enjoying your divorced period, Jeremy? Is that going well for you?
Luckily, I'm happily married.
All right. Yeah. For about five more minutes, I think, after your spouse listens to this.
That's right. I think one of the major reasons for divorce is over financial arguments. And so the more transparent you are ahead of time before it comes and making a decision before the money hits your account, the more likely that'll stop the arguments in the future. So typically this should be something that's happening. And this is where if you have a financial advisor or even just the time for you and your spouse to sit down on a quarterly, a semi-annual basis and talk about your financials, you already have a plan in place of what you might be thinking about that bonus. Then opposed to the spouse sees the money in the checking account.
We're rich. We're rich.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So just like any healthy relationship, it's about communication and frequent communication.
All right. Well, good luck with that at home and with your clients and all that. I'm just teasing. Jeremy, thanks for your time and your insight.
All right. I enjoyed it. Have a great day.
Jeremy Straub, CEO of Coastal Wealth. He was here to talk about the year-end bonus. For those of you who get them, some practical insight. For those of you who don't, some aspirational insight.